wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Money, a snare, a curse. Money, what a subject. If only in a person's pocketbook to use for needed and good things, well. But instead it has become the treasured idol of human hearts, so that all they do in the interest of that ungodly idol. No wonder the Bible insists the love of money is the root of all evil. Some are rich, but of these only a few are using their riches for the glory of God, but instead they covet more riches. Most people want to be rich. Neighbor, do you? If you found a man who thanked God that he was not rich, you would think him crazy. Let us then turn to the Bible and learn more about this matter, for everything and everyone is seen as they really are under the searchlight of God's word. Hear then these words, I quote, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the crieth of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." Unquote. These are not the words of some poor person who envies the rich, but this is God's word. Who then wants to be rich? Would you envy such people? We ought to thank God we are just common folks, neither rich nor destitute. The rich are to be pitied. Of them we could truly say, poor people. But why all this about money? When money grips the heart, it makes salvation impossible. For our Lord Jesus said, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon," or riches. The love of money has not only caused everything from divorces to murders, but it has packed a road to hellfire with people allured by the charm of riches. And only as a Christian keeps clean from the filthy lucre can he be a godly man with a good Christian testimony. That is why God's word says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." For we brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness. And now let Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, let him take over with his little book. I now introduce to you, my readers, Dr. Luke, with his book in hand and our subject of money clearly in his mind. We see him turn to the early pages of his book, the Gospel according to Luke, the third book of the New Testament Scriptures. He first impresses us with the fact that what he reads is a revelation of the Son of God on the matter of riches. His first verse is a real knockout. "Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." He does not say that we're rich, but they that are rich, for they still hang on to their love money. They never turn from it to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. They never laid it at his feet for his glory and the blessing of others. In fearless denunciation, our Lord declared, "Woe unto them that are rich." Then Dr. Luke turns 2 pages of his little book, and he read the Lord's parable of the sower and the seed, and these words, "That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard the word of God, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Riches choke out the word of God. It once looked like it would be fruitful, but then a love for money strangled it, and there was no fruit. Riches have never taken a person into heaven, but a love for money has kept many from going there. when they had to choose between God or mammon, Christ or riches, their soul or their money, they decided, take your Jesus, I want my money. Their money will perish with them, and in hellfire they won't buy a drop of water to ease their torment. Now do you want to be rich? Again, Dr. Luke turns a few pages of his little book to the words of Jesus about the rich farmer who in greed stored away all his big crop for himself and said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Riches may gratify a man's greed, but those cherished riches will damn his soul. God in his eternal wisdom calls such thou fool. Now, would you like to be that fool? I hope not. A couple of more pages, Dr. Luke now turns to the 16th chapter, and he slowly reads of a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And then a poor, hungry beggar full of sores is contrasted with this rich man. Dr. Luke stops and looks at us as much as say, which man do you want to be? Neighbor, face the challenge and decide. Then the Son of God tells of the eternal blessing of the beggar and describes the rich man in words that should strip every rich man of his love for his money. Hearken. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and cried, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Why does our Lord always speak of him as the rich man? Some preachers, to gain the approval of the wealthy, preach that riches had nothing to do with his going to hell. Who would be deceived by such vain words? When our Lord described him as the rich man, some go to hell deceived by liquor, and others for their love for lust. But a love for money sent that rich man to the burnings and thousands more. He would not repent and turn his riches loose. He lived for self and not for God. He lived for time and not for eternity. And now to climax our Lord's message about the rich, Dr. Luke turns the page again and shows us a young man, a very rich man, coming to Jesus. Let us see how a rich man reacts when he must choose Christ or riches. Our Lord says, sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor and come follow me. What a challenge. There was no compromise. Christ or still cling to your money. He could not have both. Slowly Dr. Luke reads, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. As our Lord watches him return to his love money, he says, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man, a what? A rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then, in anticipation of the great miracle of his grace just down the road, our Lord adds, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Dr. Luke now tells of a blind beggar being saved and healed by the Lord Jesus. Then he tells us of a man named Zacchaeus, describing him thus, he was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So we all count that man hopeless. But to our surprise, Dr. Luke's face brightens as he reads on. Now let all the rich in my audience draw near to see. See what? To see the power and grace of God displayed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Divine power as he saves the impossible. Divine grace to include even a rich man. And we will see a rich man, hampered by great riches, break loose from them and turn to Christ to be his Lord and Savior, repenting so completely that he could face God and man and confess, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And he, being transformed so genuinely, the Lord Jesus put the seal of his approval on him, saying, this day is salvation come to this house, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we see the greatest miracle of grace in our Lord's ministry was not the demon-possessed Mary Magdalene, nor even the dying thief of Calvary. It was the rich man up the tree. And Zacchaeus would like to put his mouth to this microphone and call out, amen, brother, hallelujah. But how did it all happen? that little rich man became desperate, and in real earnestness he runs, left his money. He wants to see Jesus. What? Jesus who said, warned you the rich? Yes. And as Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, our Lord's eye, in tender mercy, was looking over the rich to make a trophy of his saving grace. Someone, so that no rich man need despair. As the Savior of lost sinners, he stopped at the foot of that tree. His all-seeing eyes pierced through its wide leaves. That rich man met the gaze of the Son of God, his Savior. In submission to his new Lord, he obeys the command, make haste and come down. In a moment, Zacchaeus was saved and changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Zacchaeus do? First, he came down, resigning his self-importance, a blight of the rich, and taking his place at the feet of Jesus, along with other lost sinners. This is Bible repentance. Second, he received Christ as the Savior of lost sinners. Third, he confessed him as his Lord. He meant it, and he showed it too. God will not save you while you remain in self-will. You must surrender to Jesus as your Lord to obey him. Fourth, he made haste. Our Lord called for immediate action. It was now or never. Our Lord was pressing on to Calvary, an appointment he must keep on time. Zacchaeus was to be the last one saved before Calvary. And so it is today. Our Lord Jesus Christ is now in heaven, but he's coming again. The hour is near. He will come on time. You may be the last one saved ere he returns to shut the door of salvation. The call is come now, for now is the day of salvation. Will you, be you rich or poor, act right now and in real repentance receive him, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven and bled and died to save sinners, as your Savior, and confess him, the risen and living Lord in heaven, as your Lord? Do it now, right now, and I'll tell you, neighbor, if you make that choice and that decision, you'll never live to regret it. You'll thank God all your days here and in heaven. Oh, how you'll remember with thanksgiving the day you came to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. May that be your experience right now, today. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.